And hello also from me. I'm Franz Heinzmann from RSO Collective in Freiburg, Germany. Before I start with an intro to what we're actually doing today, I want to give you a quick overview of how this day today will look, especially for those who are here in the room, but also for those watching from other places. After this intro, I will do a quick overview of what we've been doing in the past month in developing a common data model for community media, and in sketching a prototype for a replication and exchange engine for community media. After this intro, we'll have a Q&A if there's questions right away, and then we'll go into a workshop phase. I think that one will not be live streamed, but we'll for those in here, we'll have a few hours to work on the topics that I'll talk about in a minute. And then after a lunch break, we'll collect the results that we came up with and do further discussion on how to proceed with these things. Yeah, so why do we need a shared data model? What is this that we're talking about? We have already quite a large number of community media platforms in the internet. By community media platforms, I mean things like, for example, the CBA that we're doing this conference with it, which is a large collection of community radio and podcasts online. It exists for 20 years and has a vast collection of material. And also there's things published, new things published all the time from different publishers. And there are similar platforms in other areas. In Germany we have freieradios.net, which is quite similar. It's a platform by the German Association of Community Radios. We have people here in the room from XRCB in Barcelona, which also is a platform of community radios and podcasters in Barcelona, and we're in contact with others. There's Media CCC.de, which is the collection of mostly presentations from the KS Computer Congresses and other events like this one. And most of these platforms exist for quite a while. They work well in what they're doing usually, but we don't have much connection between these different outlets, and we would really like to have these. Currently, if you're, you can try Googling for things from community media publishers, but as you will notice when you try, it's hard because there's not really much of a filter to kind of limit yourself to non-commercial, community-rooted outlets. Usually, you're in between all kinds of content. But what we would like to do is to build shared indexes and search engines and user interfaces that cover this community-rooted, these community-rooted publications and allow us to move audiences between these platforms. There's already content in all kinds of languages on these platforms, and also the topics discussed are often covered on multiple of these platforms. We don't really have ways to connect these content these contents and audiences from different platforms across each other. But to do that, we will need a data model that covers the content from these different platforms in a unified way. Currently, likely the most established exchange formats for radio and podcasting is RSS. RSS feeds, it exists for quite a while. It works well for what it does. It allows users to subscribe to channels, to podcasts. It does, however, not really work that well to build up larger shared indexes of content. There are podcast trackers and indexes, but the data model and format does not really enable a reliable replication of full archives of content. You can get the latest items, and so usually you can somehow scroll back in time, but already that part of scrolling back in time is not really standardized. There's different parameters, how that works. So RSS really is meant or was designed as a format to subscribe to live updates of individual channels. It's not a general purpose replication format to exchange large amounts of data between different platforms. And there's also other standards or partial standards or ideas on how to solve these things. I will not go into all the details right now. We came to the conclusion that none of them really fits exactly what we want to do. And part of the idea of this session is to look a bit deeper into these existing approaches and also look into what would be needed for our objectives and what we want to do, and then likely kind of combine or mix and match the existing approaches to find something that works well for our use cases. As I said, some standards or approaches are a bit too simple or don't really have all the features we need, like RSS. Then there's extensions to RSS, but also that's an area where there's some emerging standards that would be something we have been looking at and also will continue to look at, like extensions to RSS to better cater for podcasting. But then also we have lots of content from radio stations, community radio stations here that also usually have some more metadata attached to them, like broadcast events, when was this show broadcast, on what schedule, on what station. And that really doesn't have a good representation in RSS so far. Then on the other end, there's other metadata standards. For example, EBU Core. EBU is the European Broadcasters Union. They developed a metadata standard called EBU Core. It's based on RDF, and it's really complex. It covers a lot of areas, but implementing it, especially for like smaller platforms or smaller software tools, is a bit of a daunting task because it's a huge standard, and as it's based on RDF, you usually need like the full complexity of RDF-based tools to really deal with it. And then there's others, for example, schema.org, which we've been looking at a lot. It's schema.org, it originally comes from Google. It's also RDF-based, but usually serialized in JSON. And the idea of schema.org basically is to provide semantic tags for most of the things you find in the web. So events, shopping carts, products, ratings, restaurants, all kinds of things, but also including media assets and broadcasts and shows. So there's quite a lot of to take from there. Also, we found areas where it doesn't map too well to our domain we're dealing with. But those are like the inspirations or some things we've been looking at closely finding kind of the or settling the scene where we're dealing in. So, but now a quick step back. What actually do we want to do with that? One area is I've called it unified front-end development here. When we have a shared data model between different independent, distinct instances of or platforms. If we have a shared data model and a shared API that is built on that data model, we can build unified front ends, or we can build a front end like a radio player, like a smartphone app, like a web browser that does some novel things, like a VR 3D radio universe, whatever. All these kind of ideas, there's lots of those floating around always. Once you have a shared data model and a shared API to access different repositories of content, when you build one of these front ends, it can work across all of them. Another thing we want to do is have shared search indexes to index content from different platforms. You can already kind of do this now with a general purpose search engine that just indexes websites that you list. It works okay. We have a presentation, I think, tomorrow on Fair Search, which is such an approach. But once you have a unified data model or a unified way to mark metadata like show times, like content items and media assets, we'll have a look at our current sketch soon. Once you have this, you can provide a much richer experience because you can actually highlight the individual entries, you can have a player right in the search interface, things like that. Another thing that a shared search index would allow is cross-platform content recommendations. Once you have a search index, it's quite simple to build some basic recommendations features, like you can highlight similar content to the item you're currently looking at. Most of you will know this from different sites where you have, like, in the sidebar, this area, more like this, similar content to the current item you're viewing. And once we have a shared search index, we could implement that across different outlets. I think we'll also have a presentation on how the European Broadcasting Union is currently dealing in that. They started to do that across public service broadcasters. They now do cross-outlet recommendations of content. Another thing would be shared patterns for user interaction. So you could have a common layer across different platforms for commenting, for user accounts, for ratings, for playlists. You could do user playlists across different platforms. And then we started to look into, or many people are looking currently into using artificial intelligence tools or artificial learning to get automated analysis of content. Like together with the CBA, we have been developing a tool called Open Audio Search. We'll have a presentation on that also in the next days, that automatically transcribes content. So you take the audio and you get out text by using a speech-to-text engine. And then you can index that in the search engine, so you have search across the spoken word of the actual show. And we would like to enable that for different platforms and make it easily usable. Also, we want to enable people to share resources. So if someone or some project has, like, for example, a big server that can handle the load of transcribing and annotating these sources, it would be really nice to make it straightforward to allow smaller outlets that don't have the resources themselves to kind of co-use that server. And for that also, a shared data model and similar technical entry points, APIs, make that a lot easier. Yeah, embedding and referencing across outlets again means that once we have a shared data model, we can quite easily do something like widgets to embed a player in some other site, and that could also work the same way no matter if the content comes from XRCB or CBA or Freie Radiosnet or Media CCC. And lastly, cross-platform publishing, that would be it should be straightforward to republish content from one site to another. That could be both mean that it's just replicated, so exactly the same content published elsewhere, but it could also mean that like retweeting, for example, where you just quote content from another site but have a rich representation that looks like the original or basically is the original. Yeah, so what's the scope of this data model we're talking about? What has to be covered in it, or what would we like to see? So the primary part is audiovisual content from community media outlets, so radio and TV, journalism, but then also like surrounding areas like arts, like art productions that come in audiovisual form, conference recordings, basically all kinds of audiovisual media with a community media background. Community media is a kind of broad term. You could do a whole session on what that actually means. I think we'll have some discussion about that also. But broadly, we mean by that more or less non-commercial content, not necessarily non-commercial, but rooted in a non-commercial or in a community background, so not necessarily reaching for a maximum user reach, not reaching for maximizing advertising gains, and being connected to discussions and contexts where people like do media themselves, but in a collective way, not necessarily as individual, individual influencer style broadcasting. So that's the core of it. Then we would like to have broadcast events and schedules included. That's most important for linear media, like radio and TV. We want to have authorship and contributions play a prominent role, so that you can highlight the people who contributed to the works in different roles. Ideally, also with some way to kind of reference people across different platforms. Then licensing plays a role. We need a way to set the license or to specify the license for content that would also allow it to republish things in a legal way. Most of the content we're dealing with here has open licenses. Creative Commons is the most common one, but there might also be content that, out of whatever reason, does not have a free license, but has just a license for some kinds of publishing, and that should be possible to respect. Then categorization, topics, tags. It's a big topic. We will definitely want to have a way to include categorization metadata when publishing content, and the question of how that can work across different outlets and is a kind of open question and something that likely cannot be solved, but only be made better in some ways. You all know the thing, when people start to assign tags to stuff, the tag lists get enormously long, and that gets even more so if you exchange content or unify content from different platforms. So one outlet has the tag, I don't know, science and technology, and the other one has technology and science, and so it's not the same thing anymore. So to really have to enable building shared indexes that not only allow full text search but also browsing content by clicking on categories or on labels and then kind of highlighting prominent content in there, we would need a way to kind of unify different hierarchies of topics and categorizations. And we have some ideas in that regard, but that also is something that needs to be discussed further. The last one thing I have here is we want to include, or the data model has to have a way to include different encodings or representations of the actual audiovisual content. So there might be different encodings, like a high quality and a low quality version. But there also might be a video version and an audio only version. And there might also be different sources for that content. So maybe I didn't mention that for now, we're only talking about replicating the metadata or exchanging the metadata, so the title, description, and so on, but not the actual audiovisual content. We kind of decided that for now, in this project here, we deal the hosting of the actual audiovisual content as an external thing. So within these metadata records, you usually have HTTP URLs to the actual content. For now. And there might be different sources, which is important to support, so that you can have, if you have different sources, you can replicate them, and if one of them goes offline for whatever reason, you still have other links that might work. We definitely will at some point also want to talk about replicating or exchanging the actual content, like the audiovisual video files, to allow seamless backups or just rehosting the content. But we decided to kind of first tackle the metadata question here, also because the repositories of content we're dealing with concretely the partners I've been mentioning before, all of them currently don't have problems to host their content and keep it online in a reliable way. But yeah, especially for supporting also smaller outlets that might not have the resources to guarantee keeping that can guarantee keeping the content online for the years to come, it will be great to have a built-in way in such a system that also can replicate or rehost the actual audiovisual content. So I also I mentioned some of these already, comparison to other data models, schema.org, EbuCore, then there's the podcast namespace initiative by people from podcastindex.org and Castopod. The main developer of Castopod also will be here from tomorrow on. They propose a namespace extension to the RSS spec to better spec and mark podcast content, like transcripts, like chapters and time marks. There's a similar namespacing or metadata modeling initiative by IRD, the German Public Broadcasters Union. And then there's ActivityPub, which also we'll be talking about tomorrow. And for ActivityPub, it's a social media protocol based on RDF and JSON-LD and HTTP APIs. And for ActivityPub, there's also been a proposal for a podcast extension. These links are clickable if you want to go into the details. The link to the Miro board that these slides are on is in the notes of the conference page. Yeah, then one topic that we'll be talking about, or that we kind of stumbled upon many times already, is how do we deal with identifiers? If you replicate content, if you exchange records of metadata, you want to have a canonical way to refer to an individual piece of content, so that if one piece of content relates to another one, you have like an unambiguous way to express that relation. And that oftenly isn't that easy as it sounds, as soon as you start to deal with external content, which we are doing mostly here. If you design a system from scratch, it's not that hard usually, because by now it's quite established that just every piece of content would get a unique ID, like this 16-byte long random string or time-based string, some unique ID that is globally unique. But when you're dealing with content from existing sources, that is not guaranteed to be there, or at least you don't know in what format such an ID is. What you usually have, though, is canonical URLs. So if you're dealing with content from CBA or Freie Radiosnet or XRCB, usually each piece of content at least has one like canonical URL, like unique URL that just that unambiguously refers to that content, piece of content. And then we'll want to think about how we deal with IDs once that content gets like imported or replicated into the shared index or a shared system. And there's different ways. We could just keep the URLs themselves. The problem with that is they're a bit long. Also, they're not that nice when put into another URL. So if you want to link to that URL within a URL that's like repco.org or something, then you would have to URL encode all these slashes. We could transform them to something called a URN, which is a uniform resource name. It's like a standard to express IDs like that. That might be an approach that works well, because that can just be put into another URL. We might also have internal IDs that are like a hash of that ID or a newly created unique ID. And then we also want to have a way to address revisions of content. So if something changes, we want to say, okay, this is a new version of that piece of content, and that new version comes after that last version, so that would also need some specification in that. I'll not go into all details here. We can talk about that later. Yeah, so we've been in the past month, apart from sketching a data model, which I'll show you in a second, we'll also be sketching how such a replication and shared indexing system could look like. We're calling it REPCO as a working title, Replication for Community Media. As I said, we want to have a unified API layer across distinct outlets and platforms. And for that, we are currently talking about two ways how that could work. One would be an API gateway approach, so that you'd have a layer that would have a public API in the unified shared data model. And that layer, that proxy layer, basically, whenever it gets a request, it would send the request to an original source of content, another API, and then get the results, transform them into a shared format, and then spit it out again. And the other part, that works well for experimentation and for quickly connecting to new sources of content, but we will also want to have a layer in between that actually kind of stores that shared representation of the data and then allow to efficiently both query that data, like as in a search index or in listings queries, and also replicate it to other nodes within a network of interconnected platforms. Yeah, we've been sketching based on some code by Andreas from the CCC operation, Video Operation Center, who's also here with us. That was like a good starting point, and now the idea would be to look from there how we can kind of extend the data model to cover everything we need and then add such a shared indexing or storage layer. So this is like a rough sketch of how that system could look like. We'll have at one end the different existing platforms that provide different means of accessing the content. Some have like REST APIs, some only have RSS feeds currently, or some might have different kinds of APIs, so as long as there's some way of accessing the content, we'll kind of want to go with it. And then we'd have some module or tool that can talk to these different APIs, so there would be an implementation part specific to each supported platform or API, which would basically allow to fetch that content over HTTP or index RSS feeds if that's the only way of getting hold of the content. And then it would map that onto a shared data model. It would cache or store these records after they've been transformed to the common data model. And then it would provide a API for front ends or smartphone apps to access that content within this REPCO instance. So we'd have to talk about what APIs we need at the front-end side. Might be a REST API, might be a GraphQL API, or both. Or RSS, again, likely would also be good, so that RSS readers can access the content from the shared repository. We'd need a storage layer or a cache, something between a cache and a storage layer, likely, so that once you ingest content, you'd store it locally so that subsequent requests are fast and don't have to go the way through backend APIs again, or it's not even possible with RSS feeds usually not in a nice way possible to access individual pieces of content. One thing that will be interesting here is how we deal with updates. How do we get notified if some piece of content is changed on the original source? So this is something we'll likely be looking at to implement at the individual platforms, if they don't support it already, is that there's a reliable way to get notifications for all new publications and updates of content. This is something that oftenly somehow is supported by existing APIs, but not necessarily in a way that kind of works reliable. For if you want to ingest the whole content from another platform, what you usually want is that you say, give me all content from point in time X to point in time Y, and then once that is done, give me all that changed after this timestamp or this sequence number or something, so that you can reliably import or replicate all content that is in there, and then once you're done, get all new updates that are published on an original platform. Yeah, and once we have that, the idea is that we want to replicate content between different of these instances. So if someone set up a Repco instance that indexes content from CBA, Freie Radius, Net, and XRCB or something, and does like all the work of indexing and migrating basically, or importing the content, it should be straightforward that I can set up another instance that quickly and in a nice simple protocol maybe replicates all the content over, so that I can do experimentation with AI tools or a new front end on a copy of the data. Yeah, this is like the design sketch, and this is now finally the current sketch of how such a data model could look like. It's what we've been kind of going back and forth a bit about around the past month. Central part is a representation of a media asset that is like also common across all these different data models that we've been looking at. So it would be an individual piece of media. It's not the same as a file, because a media asset could have different files attached to it for different encodings. There's different ways on how to do this. What we've been thinking about is that a media asset is like a media, one piece of media, and if there's more than one file behind it, it would only be for different encodings of the same media, or the same, yeah, the same thing. And then above a media asset, we have something currently called content item, which would be the representation of the post that goes with the media asset on a blog or in a listing of content. So it would have the title, subtitle, summary, full text, fields like that. It would have a teaser image, like a thumbnail, and would be linked to the show that it was played on, and authors and contributors. And such a content item usually or oftenly will have just one media asset behind it, but that was something we've been discussing quite a lot. It could also have more than one media asset. So sometimes things are like that are semantically one piece of content, one piece of art, one creative work can have more than one media asset attached. It could be like an interview in two parts that somehow technically is featured in two parts. It could also be that there's an audio only version and a video version that are not directly the same encoding, so that would be two media assets because they are not like exactly the same, but that would usually be displayed in the same, like as one piece of content. And then the third important part is currently called collection here. We're not really sure about that term. Actually, I've been thinking about at least replacing it with listing. It would be, so in the radio context, the common thing would be the radio show. Like in podcasts, it would be a podcast that has episodes behind it. The radio show also has episodes or individual broadcast events episodes behind it. But it could also be a conference that then has the individual sessions with their recordings attached to it. And it could also be some category of like a topic more or less that collects, that has a listing of media, of content items with media assets behind it. But actually one feature that most of these have is that the entries within a show or a podcast have an order. They are ordered. They are not just a collection of things, but they are an ordered collection of things. There's most of these productions are serial in a way, that one comes after the other. So, in the last sketch, which is not in here, we kind of were thinking about renaming that to listing to better reflect that. And then we have one part that is mostly relevant for linear media, so radio and TV, that we want to track the broadcast events, so when something was broadcast for the first time, or not necessarily for the first time, and those broadcast events would usually happen on a broadcast channel, which would then have a publication channel that is just like the radio station can have like a FM radio publication channel and a web stream, and you could like map that onto this onto these relations. Then one thing that also is definitely has to be a part is a notion of chapters. So chapters are like markers or sections within an individual audiovisual media assets, like a starting point and a duration. You could use that to mark, for example, speakers in an interview, to then jump right to the different persons, or you could use it for user commenting even. So there should be, the data model definitely should have a way to highlight chapters within a media asset. Then we've been talking about transcripts. This is definitely not fully spec'd out here, but we need to have a way to attach transcripts to media assets. This is like more or less the current state. We also will have the license field basically on everything, more or less. That also will need some more discussion. There's some standards around well-known licenses and their names that you can use, but you will also want to have like a way to set up a custom license or usage terms. And then we want to track actors or contributions. So actors could be persons, groups, organizations. And those, and basically everything in here, at least content items, media assets, and collections or listings would have a relation to a contribution. So that would allow to say the author of this piece of content is that actor, or you'd have this role field on the contribution to also have like something like a translator, like contributions by different people in different roles should be possible to map that. Yeah, this is like the current model. There's definitely still some things we need to talk about. This collection part, we've been thinking about if we want to have to differentiate between these different types of listings or collections, like podcasts, like radio shows, like conferences, if they are all the same thing with just a type field differentiating between them, or if they have additional fields, that's something that kind of, if the semantics are close enough to be represented by the same entity, or if the semantics have more differences that would warrant a splitting it into different types. This is like still an open question. the relation between content item and media asset has been discussed quite a lot, but yeah, so maybe I'll leave it at this for now. This is like the overview of what we've been working at. And what's my next slide? Yeah, my next slide is the last slide for this presentation. This is a list of a few potential topics for the workshop session we can have in the next hours. It's definitely too much for 1.5 hours and the number of people who are in the room, but we didn't want to just decide it before too much. So one thing that we could do would be to continue that comparison to other data models, like once more look into some of the links I had in one of the slides before, and kind of look what would those offer that we don't have included yet. And we kind of did this already a bit, but there's still some parts that definitely could be investigated or looked at with a bit more of a structure. Then one part that I didn't really talk about is, which always is a big question when coming up with data models, is how and if and how that data model would be extensible. Like, whenever you kind of settle for a data model, sooner or later there will be the situation that someone who's using that data model needs to represent some information that is not within the data model. That always happens. There's no way around that. But there's different ways to deal with it. Like, one common way is namespacing. Like in RDF, for example, basically every name that you've seen here. Whoop. Sorry. Yep. Everything in here would be prefixed by, for example, repgo colon media asset, repgo colon title, repgo colon duration. That's basically how RDF works. In RDF, that's even URLs. So you'd have repco.org/media asset. Then you can use, there's ways to kind of hide that then again, like JSON-LD is a representation of RDF that hides that. If you do that, you have basically extensibility built in, because people can just use another prefix and then do whatever they want. The problem with that also is, well, the same as what it enables. It adds quite a bit of complexity, or it makes it kind of, it makes it a bit harder to work with the thing, because for many, like, APIs, or when you do deal with these data models in code, like if you write a front end, for example, you usually don't want to write these prefixes all the time, because it's just hard and not fun. And then you find ways around that, and then those extensions, how do they come back in there? So that's something to talk about. Another way to deal with that is that you say, okay, the basic data model kind of is fixed, but every item in here has another field that's called extensions or something. And then within that extensions field, you'd have some prefixed notion of extensions. And you could then have like a collective way to that people can propose extensions. They'd live in that extensions part for a while. And if others start to adopt it too, you'd have a process to standardize that extension and then move it from the extension part into the main part. That would be another approach. Yeah, so that's something to talk about. What else do I have here? Yeah, schema changes kind of is covered with that. You're more or less, you're not allowed to change things you have already in there. You can, well, or at least that's more or less a general rule when kind of designing things that are reaching for broader adoption, that you cannot change the meaning or the semantics of existing fields. You can just add new fields and deprecate existing fields. That's, yeah. Then what I already had a slide on, how identifiers and IDs and URLs would work. That is something that we could spec out more so that we have like a first proposal of how within this Repco system identifiers, like external identifiers, internal identifiers, mapping between the two, how that would work. Then we could talk about representations and input and output formats, like what APIs do we want on that content, how should those look like, do we want a GraphQL API, a REST API, other forms, what is more important, how should it look. Another topic could be how we are dealing with revisions and changes. How do we refer to a individual revision, like this published version of content? And question could also be, if we're doing relations, would they link to a specific revision? Like if we're importing content, that might be useful to say this content item refers to this revision of a collection, so that if later on someone kind of says, okay, now this show is not going, let's just reuse it and rename it, so that you could kind of track that. Or do we not want to do this and just link to the latest revision or something? Content IDs, like SID in IPFS land, I don't know if you know about IPFS, it's a P2P protocol. You usually always create a hash of a canonical representation of each piece of content, and then you have this hash which unambiguously always refers to exactly this string of content. And then when you do relations, you always relate to these content IDs, which is a quite straightforward and simple way to kind of enforce that these IDs always refer to the same thing. That could be something that we could employ within this data model, for example, for linking to revisions of content. That could be something we can talk about. And finally, I've put in here use cases, front ends, and indexes. So talk a bit more about what we actually want to build with it to maybe then inform some choices within the data model. Okay, I've been talking for longer than I thought, but this was the overview of what we've been working on in the past month. I'll close here and open for questions now, and then I think we'll do a quick break and then talk about what we want to do in the workshop sessions and how we want to structure this. I think we'll do this after the streaming part in the room here. And yeah, but now if there's questions to what I've been talking about, feel free to ask.
Can be extended, like for example, converting this data model in a JSON and agreeing that we have a subset of this JSON that we all know, but that we can extend this JSON with rubbish and we don't care and we will talk it later. And that with that approach that I feel is more agile, we could end up having something working sooner, but we will have more rubbish to clean at some point.
Yeah. I kind of agree. I'm also not sure. Like, I don't think we can like now spec the whole data model without having a working implementation. That just can take ages, and has the problem like with all these approaches that come from academia that people talk about in conferences for a long time and then no one ever implements it. Like especially with RDF ontologies, I think that's a quite common problem that people spend a lot of time into developing the finest details of a data model, but then no one implements it, or once people start implementing it, they only implement some parts of it, then realize others don't really work for well for us, and then deviate from the spec and do something else because it just works better. That also actually is a kind of a, I think with ActivityPub that also happened a bit, that there was one implementation, Mastodon, and they did things a bit different at some parts, or then there are parts from the specs not implemented by Mastodon, and then you don't really know if you actually can use these parts with other tools, so that definitely is a problem. I think one thing where it actually makes sense to kind of to try to find a consensus before going too far into implementation is not necessarily all these fields in here, but the relations and like top-level entities, because those are kind of hard. You kind of have to agree on something there. There's definitely different ways to do that, but for these relations, you need to have a basic structure where you at least guess that it will work for all the content or most of the content you have. So, I'd agree that it makes sense to not spec all the fields in too much detail, but just start with it. And then, actually, one thing that also is quite straightforward to do is, if for now we're always dealing with content that comes from third-party sources for the system itself, like is imported externally and then converted or mapped onto the shared data model, that you then have something like a original source field or a raw field or something where you put in just the JSON in the original form where you imported it from, and then at least to get started you could like that's kind of hacky, but also it enables things. You can just in the front end you can just check if original source dot CBA dot I don't know subtitle 2 or something, or supertitle, or some field you know is there but it's not yet spec'd, and you can just play around with it, knowing that at one point in time you kind of want to move that into the spec and into the shared data model. I kind of agree that we should not like talk too much about especially the individual metadata fields, but more the high level structure and then start to work with that. Yeah. Also, like that's basically what we did here. Those fields that are listed here. There's definitely more fields on a media asset than we have here. Like, but we've been mostly talking about the relations between the different top-level entities. Yeah. Are there more questions? Are there questions in the matrix room? No questions in the matrix room? Yeah.
And. Well, thanks for the presentation. It was very, very interesting, very good review of everything. And I was also thinking that, and you say that ActivityPub only have one final implementation?
No. Or there's quite a few now. I think Mastodon was the first big implementation that actually was in use. And so others kind of did oftenly more, they did what Mastodon did and not necessarily what the spec said, if there was differences. But I'm not super sure about that. Tomorrow we'll have a presentation by someone who's more into ActivityPub than I am.
Okay, then we maybe...
Yeah. Okay, if there's no more questions right now, I'd thank you for listening, also those watching from other places, and I'd say we take maybe a 10-minute break or something and then meet again to talk about what we are going to work on today. Thanks.